Taking Iwo Jima cost nearly 7,000 American lives, and there were more than 19,000 injured. Movies about such dramatic events can burn images into the mind with an intensity that essays or textbooks may never match. And if the movie is a blend of history and fiction, not a documentary, the demands of storytelling can determine the way an entire generation understands its past. We asked the chief historian of the U.S. Marine Corps, Chuck Melson, to tell us what he made of the movie, and he found it generally true to life, bond drive sales and all.
The Seventh War Bond Campaign actually occurred. It was the most successful war bond campaign of the war, helped in part by this image of American victory and the representation of the two surviving Marines and the one Navy corpsman from the flag raising, and the public responded to it.
The movie would make the point that that particular image, that particular photograph, and the men who did it were the very fulcrum on which public support for the war effort in 1945 rested. Have they exaggerated that, or was it that important a moment for Americans to see that picture on the front page of every newspaper in America?
I think it would take a social historian to really pin that one down. I think in terms of how the movie projected it, they showed 1945 America. They visibly weren't suffering, it seems, from any shortages of food, drink, or gasoline for their cars.
No rationing in the cinematic version of 1945.
No. But I think it did show the part that continued American support of the war effort, not just passive support, but active support was required to finish and complete the war.
There are some spectacular images of naval vessels lined up coming into Iwo Jima, and then, of course, there are scenes on the beach as well. Do they look to you like the photographs you've seen of Iwo Jima? Is it your image of what you've always imagined as a historian that Iwo Jima looked like?
It is, if you keep in mind, at one point they had two divisions moving towards the island. You had all the ships of the fleet that were there. You had the air cover that was there. You had the naval gunfire. Now, obviously, they've looked at both motion picture and still photography from the time to create this. And then they replicate the tremendous congestion on the beach, which was one of the problems in fighting the battle, that, yes, they could come ashore, but once they hit that black volcanic sand, they couldn't move. Mm-hmm. You know, the tank stuck, they threw treads, the jeep stuck, and the Marines themselves were slipping and sliding and really couldn't dig in on the beach, so they were wide open to the Japanese guns and shellfire.
A Marine officer tells the Navy corpsman, who's a medic and is going to take part in the assault, you know, try to conceal your medic's kit here because the Japanese snipers will be looking for that. They'll want to hit the medic because they know that'll cause another 10 U.S. Marines to die for lack of medical care. I don't know whether that was something that was either believed by the Marines at the time or whether there's any truth to it on the Japanese side. Was a medic a particular target of sniper fire in an assault of this kind?
Well, you notice they weren't wearing the large white Red Crosses on their helmets or armbands. And a corpsman's an interesting person because unlike a doctor, a dentist, or a nurse, he's not technically a non-combatant. You notice they were armed.
Mm-hmm.
So their job is to secure and care for the wounded, according to the Geneva Convention, both American and enemy. And the problem with a corpsman is, and they showed it in the movie with Bradley, is that when they call for corpsmen, they have to respond. I mean, that's their duty and they're compelled to, but the corpsmen pay the price. And that's one of the first battles where you get corpsmen awarded the Navy Cross. Up until then, they felt any heroism shown by a corpsman doing his job went with the territory.
The image of Iwo Jima left, you know, I would say, certainly an entire generation like mine that was born right after the war with the notion that raising the flag after a battle is a vital thing that obviously happens and it's very important to people. What exactly was the significance of raising the flag on Iwo Jima?
That's a question that we can talk about probably forever because there's a number of different levels. So I'll stick to the level that on the battlefield would have been appropriate, and that was basically to get your people up on the high ground to see that it was clear of enemy and to indicate to the people below that you held this high ground. The battalion that was tasked to do this set a small patrol up, and that patrol was instructed when you get to the top, wave the flag. And that gets into almost a virtual plethora of flag raisings going on the same mountain and arguments over whose flag belongs where. But it did mean that the high spot of the island was in American hands. American observers could go up there and use it to control American artillery and American air. And in some ways, although it was only the beginning of the battle, I think it probably meant that tactically, we are going to win eventually.
Well, Charles Melson, thank you very much for talking with us about Flags of Our Fathers.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Charles Melson is the chief historian of the United States Marine Corps, and Flags of Our Fathers is Clint Eastwood's new movie about the raising of the flag on Iwo Jima. There are historic photos of Iwo Jima and scenes from the movie at npr.org.